Welcome to this interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. Hans Henrik Nielsen. He is the Global Developing Director of Cargo Gulf Inc. in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. And first and foremost, Hans Henrik, welcome, and it's good to see you here.
Thank you so much, Bo. Likewise.
Yes, as you know from previous interviews, I always let the accused or the interviewee, so to speak, give our viewers and listeners a little rundown on the career leading up to their current position. So how did you end up in the Emirates, and when and why did you get into logistics?
Well, it's since I'm 58 years old now, it's been quite a long career. But it's I started with a very well-known company in Denmark called Scan Shipping, where I took my apprenticeship. And then after finishing this in my hometown of Aalborg, I immediately went over to the luring lights of Copenhagen, and I got a job with Copenhagen with a company called Ocean Shipping. Mm-hmm. And I was there as assistant manager in the liner department. One of our principals was a company called Norasia Line. And a couple of years later, Norasia Line, they offered me a job to go to Dubai and to Sharjah, live in Dubai, but work in Sharjah. Mm-hmm. And I became assistant regional manager for Norasia in the Arabian Gulf.
Okay.
And then subsequently after that, I must have done something right, because they promoted me to general manager for our Red Sea service. And I was running that out of Amman in Jordan.
Okay, interesting.
Then I got into the Middle East. Sorry, then from there I went back to Copenhagen for 2-3 years, and again working with Ocean Shipping. And then I went out to Singapore for a large Danish American NVOCC called Shipco Transport.
Okay.
And I was with Shipco in Singapore for 7 years. Then I went to as general manager there. Then I got a chance to be a minority partner in a liner agency and project cargo company in London called Staley Radford.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved to England in 1999, stayed there until 2001, quite quickly realized that after having spent so many years abroad, then it was difficult to return to Europe, and work the work speed and time was just different,
and weather
and the weather of course was horrible. I think we arrived in UK for the wettest year in that century, so that also had an impact on our decision, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Anyway, went back to Asia, settled in Malaysia in 2001. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I joined the GAC Group, which is the 100% parent company of Cargo Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2007, I was asked to move to Singapore and to take over Cargo Gulf permanently. Up till then, I had been the regional manager for Asia Pacific for GAC Group, for everything from logistics, project cargoes, anything you could think of.
Right.
So we set up Cargo Gulf in 2007 in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2012, I moved here to Dubai, which is the head office, and became the global development director for Cargo Gulf. And this is what I've been doing since then.
Okay, that's quite an extensive and impressive career, Hans, I must say. And as you correctly say, living abroad means that you become international per se. And of course, I can fully realize why it's difficult to move back to Europe. But turning to Cargo Gulf, I understand that Cargo Gulf is an NVOCC. Is that correctly understood?
That's correct. And we try to distinguish ourselves between what we call ourselves a hardcore NVOCC.
Okay.
And there are many companies in Europe and in America who call themselves NVOCCs, but reality is that they piggyback on mainline operators or larger container operators' own services. They may have a lot of volume, and they may even be able to sell those services through profitable because they get a volume discount compared, and then there's a profit between what they're selling to the customers and selling to and purchasing from the mainline operators. But we operate with our own containers. We go out and we charter slots, and we have both got slot charter parties which are running on long term, and we have got some which are on short term. But it also means that we have our own fleet of containers. We set our own pricing. So it's not that we have a price of X from for the heck of it, let's call it Maersk Line, and and then we sell at X plus 20%. We have a price on a charter party, and that is valid for a long, long time, and we pay that every day, whether we use the space or not.
Right.
We have a cost, so it's up to us to commercially exploit the space that we have. And of course, we have our own containers. We have to make sure that our container fleet is moving around, that the containers are maintained, are in good condition, that they're CSC plated. We have to make sure that that we can provide equipment sufficiently for the bookings that we take on.
Okay.
And also, apart from the freight pricing, we also control issues such as demurrage and detention tariffs.
Okay, which is certainly in these volatile days very important. So when you say you are a hardcore NVOCC, does it mean that, let's assume, as you said, for the heck of it, that I'm a project forwarder here and I can't get space anywhere and I need some containers to be shipped, even a flat rack maybe, I could contact Cargo Gulf, because basically you are a ship owner. I mean, you take ship space on as a real ship owner and you pay for it whether you use it or not. So you do have some influence. That means you could service me and give me a rate for that, right?
Correct. And that is exactly what we do.
Okay.
Particularly in these very trying times over the last 18 months,
yeah.
Our model has proven to be extremely valuable and also able, because we the space that we purchase, of course, nobody else can take away. That is ours.
Yes.
So we don't have the situation where somebody takes gives us a booking, and then in the last minute we have to say, sorry, we can't take your booking because we don't have any space. The space was given away to somebody else. That space is ours.
Yeah, got it. Got it.
So then it's up to us to manage that and ensure that we don't overbook, and also that we don't underbook.
Yeah.
And we have an amazing track record of very, very few short shipments. We've had some rollovers, like everybody else.
Yeah.
And mainly the rollovers come from feeder car containers that comes in from smaller ports into the larger ports, such as Port Klang or Singapore or Colombo. And the rollovers predominantly stem from the fact that feeder vessels also get delayed in other ports, and then they don't meet up with a mother vessel, and then we face the rollovers,
yeah.
Which of course does sometimes then have a knock-on effect on the next week's sailing, because then you have got too many bookings. But so I'm not going to say that we haven't had these problems, but we've had very few of them, and we try to avoid them.
Okay.
Because I think we are small, we've managed.
Yeah, I know. I do understand. I mean, one question I'd like to put to you also, Hans Henrik, is that Cargo Gulf, you belong to Gulf Agency, which is very successful and now global reaching, does everything within shipping and agency and whatnot. Some potential customers, they don't need to be afraid of that the owners are Gulf Agency. You're totally independent, right?
And obviously, this is a question that we've been asked many times.
Yeah.
And of course, Gulf Agency is today a global shipping, logistics and marine company with more than 350 companies all over the world under its umbrella.
Yeah.
So there are many offices where we, for instance, we don't even work with a Gulf Agency company as our agents, because the skill set that we require as a liner agent is simply not there.
Right.
We operate 100% independently. In fact, all our customer base are freight forwarders and logistics companies.
Okay.
We do not have a single retail customer.
Right. Got it. That's now, I think you may be onto something right there, because there's no doubt when we look at some of the big dragons in shipping, they seem to be at least hinting at becoming freight forwarders. And coming to you instead would at least mean neutrality, and you would act as a true carrier, true to whoever brings you cargo, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly what we do. We are a port-to-port carrier, and we provide the contract of carriage under our bill of lading and under our charter parties. But apart from that, we don't really get involved in custom clearance.
Yeah.
We don't really do any door deliveries or ex-works haulage pickups. We leave that to the freight forwarders.
Right. And you're headquartered in Dubai, but I suppose you have regional offices. I mean, sitting in Europe, then you have in each individual country agents or regional centers?
So we work with agents. Okay. We are very old-fashioned and traditional in this way. I've always believed in the in that healthy conflict between a good commercial agent and a principal, and you have an agent who's also responsible for his own P&L,
right?
Which then means that even if I say no to a rate request, then the agent is going to fight for it and will say, no, Hans, listen, you're wrong, we need this business because of so and so and so. And they may very well be right. They are the local experts, and of course, as the principal, we have to listen to their advice and guidance as well.
Right. So you could or you have appointed agents of or representatives of Cargo Gulf that not necessarily are their own local Gulf agency company.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, that's I think it's very clear, and because a lot of people, I would say they, it's Gulf agency, they're so big, and what are we going to do now? So at least we cleared that up.
I think to the contrary, first of all, here in the Middle East, Gulf agency has a stellar reputation as a liner agent, been representing many very high profile mainline operators throughout the years. Companies like NYK, HMM, etc. Okay. So there is APL. In Oman, we were the agents from there. So the GAC Group has always been able to keep a watertight line between its other activities and then its activities as a liner agent and for larger principals. And the clients here in the Middle East, they know that.
Okay, so what are you doing? Of course, it's your strong point is in the Middle East, but you're also rolling it out in Europe, I believe, and of course, Asia, Southeast Asia.
So we have actually been running a service from Europe into the Arabian Gulf for quite a while.
Okay.
And we've had to scale back a little bit here for the last 6 to 9 months, simply because of the logistical problems and the congestion problems in the ports.
Yeah.
And in order to get equipment in and out of UK has been UK and Europe has been exceedingly difficult.
Yeah.
So we have scaled back on that. But it's also, and I have to be honest and say that because of the equipment shortage. So we only have an infinite equipment pool. And when you do not have access to unlimited containers, then obviously you're looking at to increase your yield per TEU per day.
Of course.
So like any of our very, very, very large and very capable competitors, then we are looking at the same yield per day as they do. So we move our equipment to where we can make the most money.
Of course, no, but there's no free lunch anywhere, and it's a special time, certainly for now, for everyone. And if you look into your crystal ball that we all would like to know the truth of, what do you see? Do you see the market being in touch with the major lines? The market is still strong and will remain so at least until a good part into the next year, right?
Well, the market has been very, very strong for many months now, And just because like last week or the last 2 weeks up to Golden Week in China, we saw the market turning over a little bit, which is probably more due to energy shortages in China, and also because of the long holidays.
Right.
More than anything else, I think that the $18,000 days from Shanghai to Southampton per 40 foot, they're probably over.
Yeah.
But let's also be honest that a lot less is still a very, very, very attractive proposition for a container operator.
Oh yeah.
So I think that this will continue, and I think that the there are markets which will probably do better than others. I think it has become the time now for some of the smaller markets, because all the large, very, very large container operators have taken tonnage out of the smaller markets in order to serve the large Trans-Pacific markets and in order to serve the Asia European markets.
Right.
So where you used to have weekly frequencies or even bi-weekly frequencies on some of the trades, for instance, Southeast Asia to Arabian Gulf is a good example. Mm-hmm. Now, even some of our very large competitors, they have problems in actually maintaining their own weekly schedule. So in that kind of market situation where there is a demand that far exceeds the supply, the rates will continue to go up. Congestion in ports also have something to do with that.
Oh yeah.
So still in Southeast Asia, there's a lot of congestion. Singapore is very difficult.
Right.
Ho Chi Minh is very difficult as well.
Yes, yes. No, it has escaped no one that it's really, I mean, when you see these images of 65 or whatever container vessels waiting outside Los Angeles to get to berth, then they can't get back again to China to load. It's like really the ketchup effect, isn't it?
Well, and also, I mean, of course, there has been significant congestions in front of some of the larger Chinese ports, certainly Shanghai, Ningbo.
Yeah.
And of course, about one and a half ago in Yanxian as well. So so this is difficult. Singapore is still facing a good 48 hours waiting at anchorage before you have a chance of getting a berth. And you know, we're talking about Singapore here. This would have been unthinkable.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Oh yeah. Now it's there's one thing that came to my mind. I mean, after the ever given blockage of the Suez Canal and then this logistics nightmare, at least we don't have to explain to whoever asks us what we do for a living, what are you actually doing in shipping and logistics? Now they know that we are important to the world.
Not just us on the commercial side, but certainly everybody in trade, and most importantly, of course, the seafarers. They that have long been forgotten, and in many cases are still not always looked after in the best way possible.
Well, we can only urge to the ship owners to pay their dues and give them the bonus that they are keen to give others. So let's hope for follow up on that. But listen, Hans Henrik, that's very interesting. Cargo Golf, and of course with a reputable owners and a good name in its own right, I think you're on to the right business here. Just for one of the final questions I have for you. Do you also have the capability to take a flat rack or two, or is it only standard containers?
No. We take on board special equipment too.
Okay.
One of the difficulties we've had with special equipment is that special equipment shippers or cargo that needs special equipment, they're so used to that the additional slot that is killed doesn't pay the full actual freight, but just pays for the kill slot.
Yeah.
And today that's unfortunately not the case, because why should I sell a 40-foot flat rack with two extra kill slots at a minimum price when I can just stick my own container on top of it and get full freight?
Sure.
Right. So,
yeah, but we have. I was just in Hamburg last week, and you see some of these break bulk ships coming in. They can lift 900 ton, and then they come in with 800 containers on top.
Yes, of course.
No break bulk cargo.
Containers pay more.
Yeah,
but I think that, and this might be I would just like to highlight is, Bowie, is that this model of that we are using, where we are partnering up with very large feeder companies. We bring the equipment, we bring the agency network, and we bring the clients and the feeders, they bring the vessel and the port agents and the service and the port rotation structure. You can say that we share the burden of shipping 50-50. Also from a CapEx point of view, that is probably not shared 50-50, but maybe 30-70. Of course, the vessels right now are very expensive. But I think that's a model that will continue to grow. And we embarked upon that. Looking at our strengths would be in long haul trade lanes. There are many, many competitors here in the Arabian Gulf and the Indian subcontinent that have already been doing this for many years, and they are extremely good at that. And we felt that why should we try and compete with these people who has got a 10, 15 year head start on us? So we went to Asia, we went to Europe, the latest service that we're starting now is a new service into the Pacific Islands.
Mm-hmm.
With all those weird and wonderful names that none of us can pronounce, but we all wish we sit on the beach and have a Mai Tai looking at the sundown.
Definitely.
So that's our last new venture that we're looking into. Again, a little bit specialized, not something that is easy. You have to manage the equipment right. There's a huge imbalance of export versus import. So, you know, again, it's a trade lane that requires attention. And because we're small and nimble, I believe that this is a perfect fit for us.
Yeah. Now, but you are flexible and you are able to come up with new solutions instead of just a standard one. So
correct. For instance, another way of doing it was that when the space crunch was at its highest from Asia into Europe, we set up a service where we were using our own charter parties from Asia or from China into the Arabian Gulf with our own containers.
Okay.
Then we transshipped the containers in Jebelali,
mm-hmm.
and we made a connecting carry agreement with one of the very, very large container operators from here back to Europe.
Oh, yeah.
And then we got equipment into Europe that way, and it was cheaper for the customers. It was a little bit, it took a little bit longer because the transit time was obviously longer, but the client got a bill of lading issued in China. They got it out sailing the next week. They knew that the cargo was on the sea and they could plan their supply chain and their sales accordingly.
It's a very smart move in these times, I must say. Very, very impressed to hear what you can do. And I think it'll be also impressive to hear from and see from all our viewers here. Hans-Henrik, the very final question, how is it to now? I shouldn't ask you maybe, but still I have to. How is it to live in Dubai? Is it a nice experience as a foreigner?
Well, first time I came to Dubai was in 1986.
Okay.
Where it was not the glitzy metropolitan city that it is today. But I've always been doing a lot of business in the Middle East, even when I was based in Asia. And I would say that Dubai is an amazing place to be. It's east, east, west. It's the gateway. It's a multicultural city. Everybody is here. I say this is really the United Nations all in one place. And half the time, the weather is fantastic. 3 months a year, I must admit, it gets a bit hot. but apart from that, it's wonderful. There's lovely beaches, fantastic restaurants,
yeah.
Beautiful nature, and really nice people that you work with people from every walk of life.
Yeah,
and from every country in the world. So you become very international. I can only recommend anybody to visit Dubai. And of course, now they have got the Expo 2020.
Exactly.
So that's a very good reason as well to come here.
I think you should have a side job, Hans-Henrik, as be a salesman for Dubai in the in-flight service of Emirates, because I always hear how much they're doing there. So you're really good at it.
I'm sure that they have got probably somebody who's looking a little bit more attractive than me.
but still, anyway, as we say, it's good to hear that that you like where you're living, and then of course it makes also life easier, doesn't it? So.
Well, in most cases, our life here is just as normal as everywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
As you can see, I'm not particularly suntanned. It's not that I'm lying around on the beach every day. We don't have time for that.
No, of course.
So it's an easy place for me to work, and it suits our business model right now.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, it's good. Excellent, Hans-Henrik. I want to say really many thanks to you for joining this interview. It was refreshing to hear how successful Cargo Golf are doing and that you have a clear direction in the future. So thank you very much for this.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Bo. I really appreciate it.
Most welcome. And to all our listeners, viewers, readers from around the world, this was yet another special interview with Mr. Hans-Henrik Nielsen, the Global Development Director of Cargo Golf Inc., part of Golf Agency, located in Dubai, Emirates. Stay tuned for more interesting interviews in the near future. Thank you.